The kindness of God. You know, it's we have kind people in the world, but our Father, His kindness is just so special. And I just wanted to single that out. Here we're a week before Fall Fellowship, and it's a time when, as people come in from all over the world, we need to be sharing that kindness of God. Not necessarily our kindness, but the kindness of God. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Titus, one of the shortest books in the Bible. Just two books before the great book of Hebrew in the New Testament. And we're going to pick it up there. Titus, meaning protected. And our Father does protect us in the message that was brought through Titus. And it's a call to purity, a call to God Himself, a call that you never want to omit or look over. You see, our Father loved you enough that He came down Himself. Okay. When He sent the Son, He said, call Him Emmanuel, that is God with us. So He saw fit Himself to come down. So pick it up, if you would, in Titus, the second chapter, the 11th verse. And for thee, and the 11th verse reads, with that word of wisdom from our Father, for the grace, that's a charis, the gift, the love of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. He still appears today in His Word through the Holy Spirit. But He Himself came down in that Son and appeared for all to see in a form in this dispensation that we can see and understand. Why? Because He loves you. He saw fit to do that because of His grace and His love for His children. Though they sin and though they fall short, He still does this. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, in this age, in this eon, that drawing from Him, and He's showing the way, that as the word Titus, protected, we're protected. You're protected by that Spirit, in that Spirit, and for that Spirit. Why? Because you are an example to others of people that believe. And they observe you and watch you. Your credibility is very, very important. 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's going to happen soon. And when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Let there be no mistake about that. Why? Your Father loves you. He cares. Well, I'll have trouble. Well, He knows that. He wants you to lean on Him. Right? You know, when do everything you can, but then draw from Him. He can cut it. He's your Father. And He is kind. And He loves you. He cares. That's why He came down here. And He came to show us the way and to bring that salvation that whoever you were, or whoever you are, that you find that solace in Him. So you look forward to that. Verse 14, who gave Himself for us. Now think about that. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem, let's say rescue, us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That means zealous to do good works. Zealous to bring the good word forward. A word that what? Gives us hope. Gives us understanding. The fact that He Himself, Almighty God, would come down for you and provide this opening whereby you could grasp that truth and understanding and love. And no, hey, it's not a passing thing. It's forever. It's forever and ever. Looking forward to that. 15, these things speak, or you teach, you show an example, and exhort, you speak it out, don't be ashamed, speak it out, and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. This means let no man overreach you in thought. You're intelligent. God has given you wisdom and knowledge of what truth is. Don't let someone take advantage of that. Don't let someone slight you. You know, this is one of the greatest mistakes of Christians. They're taught, well, Christians are second-class citizens. We just let people run over us. That's not true. We do not do that. We have a way, and nobody's going to slight us, right? You're children of God. And again, that Father came down himself, Emmanuel, God with us, that you could know and understand that he touched you. And then, not only that, but he brought forth the Holy Spirit that strengthens you today. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today, now. To help you, to lead you, and to set that example. Continuing on in chapter 3, we read, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Always protect your credibility under whatever government you are, if it be possible, whereby that government must protect you to do the work of God. It's important that you grasp that. In other words, we're blessed in this great nation that we have freedom of religion and freedom of speech. And when you obey the magistrate, they have to work at guaranteeing you the right to teach God's word as it is written and to bring it forth. Don't you ever dare let someone tell you otherwise or try to take that away from you. Verse 2. To speak evil of no man, which meant no man. To be no brawlers, that's to be quarrelsome, aggravating, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Be conciliatory. There's a better way to work things out for an intelligent person. You know, you can take the word of God and just whittle away at an evil person. Letting the word do it. If it's possible, sometimes not always possible, sometimes you have to kind of put them down and then, of course, pray for them. You know, and let no man slight you. Okay? That's when totally out of control. Sometimes it takes a little correction to get attention. So it is. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Hey, look back. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. And if you don't have that love of Christ, this can happen in human bodies. Why? You're thinking as flesh, okay? Without the presence of that Holy Spirit, that kindness of God, that you care for others, not hating them, caring for them, but by the grace of God, there go I. So always build up. Be conciliatory, gentle in that sense, if it be possible, and continue working forward in that. Listen carefully, verse 4. But after that be kindness, underline it, that's the word we're coming here for, but after that kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. He came down. I want to tell you something about this word kindness. In the Greek, it's Christatos. You know what Christos means in the Greek tongue? That's Messiah. That's Christ. This word kindness and the kindness of God is Christatos, meaning to be gentle. And that's not our kindness. That's God's kindness toward you, that he cares, that kinship word of even Christos himself, to say Christos really meaning Messiah, being totally interpreted in English, the anointed one, okay, as rubbing by oil, the anointed one promised of God. That's how much he loves you. And that's his Christos, his kindness toward you, a gift of salvation. And you can't do anything to earn that. It's your believing and your faith, because it's his grace that brings that forward. God's grace, not ours. That's the kindness of God. Now, that isn't to say that after you receive it that you don't line up and do what's right. Okay. But don't ever try to take credit for what God does. Don't ever try to take credit for God's love with your love. Okay. That's his love freely given. His kindness and love, that you can exist and be who you are with the peace of mind and soundness of mind that this word brings you into simplicity. And this is a very simple lecture, in the simplicity that Christ brings forth. We're supposed to talk about these things over and over and over. That's what Feast of the Tabernacles is for, is to take the Word of God 7 days, reading it over and over and over. In today's, at those times, no one had the Word. It had to be given by the priest. Today, you have the Word. That's a blessing. And that is a gift. So there you have that Christos, that kindness and love of God, freely given. And it's important that you catch the fact that it appeared. He came down. Did he have to? No, he didn't have to. He came down to bring salvation to you. Why? Because he loves you. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. That's God's mercy. His charis, gift. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, washing you clean. And this hits towards baptism, which signifies his coming here to us, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When you come forth from that water of baptism, that regeneration that makes you a new person. It makes you a new person spiritually, but as long as we're in flesh bodies, we still think in the flesh oftentimes. Don't ever, as a young person, don't ever think that your baptism or your promise failed because your flesh acts up a little bit. Get it in line, okay? This turns many people away from Christ, that they feel they failed. No, we're human beings. And you strive, you repent. That's what repentance is about. But that washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today, he touches you. He came down, and he still comes down in that Holy Spirit. Do you know whose Spirit the Holy Spirit is? It's his. It's his Spirit. He still comes, and he touches you. That's that warmness that you feel in your heart, the Holy Spirit, intuitively, as he leads and guides and directs, the kindness of God, how he loves his children, and how forgiving he is of his children. Verse 6, which he shed on us, he poured it out, he shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. God did that through the Son, Emmanuel, God with us. You know, some people have such a hard reach trying to grasp exactly what that means, no? Emmanuel means exactly that, God with us. Okay. When God in the beginning said, let us create man in our image, he included himself. You understand that? Let us create man in our image. He included himself. And that's why when you You look as you look then, and he looks as he looked then. In other words, if you've seen the Son, your documentation for this statement is John chapter 14. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, because he was in his image, but in such a way that we can see and understand. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, that's cleared of all guilt. Okay. Can you do that, or do you like to hang on to it? When you repent, justified by the clearance of all guilt, it's gone. Goodbye. Over with. Done. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so it is. That is your hope. Hey, this is not a passing thing. God is the same yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever, and you're with him when you're in him. He made it so easy for you to make that trip and to be an heir. You know what an heir is? That's somebody that inherits something. Your father owns everything. You're traveling in good company, and it really pays great dividends and rewards to serve him. With that verse, we're going to go to... Let's go to the book of Ephesians for a moment. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians means permitted. And God does permit you to follow him, to believe, to be zealous, to serve him. If you're useful, if you're trained well, how do I train myself? In his word. His word leads you, guides you, and directs you. So, book of Ephesians chapter 2, let's pick it up. We're going to cover quite a bit of this. And you, and this does mean you, and you hath he quickened, that's a Greek term that means he made you alive, not just in the flesh, but eternally. Got it? Eternally. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, but they were washed away, regenerated, and now you're whole. Where in time past we walked according to the course of the world. That's just natural. That means this world age, quite frankly, eon, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the old devil. You like to listen to him? When you're in the world, some people do. They like to hear the devil talk, you know. It's all right. You'll be okay. Just do whatever you want to do. Well, that sounds good to me. No, it shouldn't. Because there are parameters. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want to do if you want to end up in hell. And a lot of that hell can happen right here on earth. I mean, you can bring it on yourself. Satan just loves to stand in the corner and laugh at you for doing stupid things. And he'll applaud you, and you make a fool of yourself when you allow him into your family. Order him out in the name of Christ. That's one of the powers and gifts that he gives you, to not quarrelsome in the head and throw it in the back. Not the person. The thoughts. Throw them out in the backyard, okay? The prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're not a child of disobedience. You may slip and you may stumble, but a child of disobedience is the very children of Satan himself and those that follow them. The Kenites, quite frankly. Be careful, my friend. In the generation that lives at this time, was the generation that was deceived in the first earth age. They're living now. Okay. And if you think that things are going from bad to worse, if you were born back when I was born, it has, quite frankly. And, you know, back then, and there are still exceptions to every rule, back then as a young man, if you went and opened the door for an elderly person and helped them in, today they slam the door in their face. You know, in many places, it happens. Well, how can that be? Well, children of disobedience. When the time that the Antichrist would reappear, that third would be living. And they are. So, stay on the right side. God loves you enough, and His kindness is such that He sent you the Holy Spirit. Hang on to it. Hold Him. He holds you. It's family. He's your Father. The very nearest of kin you have, your Heavenly Father. He loves you very much. Among verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, just simple old nature, the children of wrath, even as others. The flesh will let you down. You got to come up above it, okay? But God, who is rich in mercy, charis, that is to say His gift, for His great love wherewith He loved us, His kindness. Don't ever let it go. Hang on to it. You got to believe and know He loves you. Well, but I'm a sinner. He still loves you. Doesn't love what you're doing. He expects you to repent, but He does love you. I mean, after all, you're His child. Even when we were dead in sins, that means we didn't have eternal life, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ by grace, charis, you are saved. By His grace, His gift. He came, He paid the price that you can have that regeneration. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's fantastic, to be in that body, the oneness of that Holy Spirit, the healing, the strength, the power, and the ability to rise above the evil things of this world today, looking forward as inheritors of that that is to come. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit today, you can enjoy that peace of mind today, now. Why? His kindness, His love, He gives it to you. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches, hang on and read close, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, charis, in His kindness. There's that word again. Whose kindness? God's kindness. Christotas. Okay. His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus, He came down. He came down in the Holy Spirit. When you see one, you see the other. Why? Again, because He loves you. What a simple message, but how important, and one that is to be repeated when you grow a little cold and distant away from the fact of His kindness, of His love. His love for you. I mean, as an individual. His love for you. He created you unique. Different than anyone else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. Why? He wanted someone like you. Because He loves you. Okay. Verse 9. Why does this happen? Not of works, lest any man should boast and try to take credit for God's work. Don't ever do that. It's one thing to be a good Samaritan. It's one thing to be a good Christian. It's one thing to just really serve God. But don't ever take credit for what God has given you. That's from Him. That's a good way to get yourself cut off. It's by trying to take credit for something. Well, it was my works that got me saved. No, it was Christ's death on the cross of the flesh that saved you. God's kindness in sending Him down, Emmanuel, God with us, that our sins could be erased, forgotten, gone. Total guilt washed away. Intuitively serving Him with zealousness in His name. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained. He did what long time ago, as far as the elect are concerned, long time ago foreordained that we should walk in them. And what? Help our people. Look forward to those people. Know those people. And love them. How precious it is to be to have family, to have God's family. Wherefore, remember that it's written here now to Gentile. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Doesn't apply. The circumcision today is of the heart, and it applies to both men and women. It's to circumcise your heart to Jesus Christ, to believe, to know, to accept His kindness, the kindness of Almighty God. Verse 12, that at times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a terrible plight that was. But God always evens things up. But now, in Christ Jesus, you are who sometimes were afar off, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. By what? By the blood of Christ. The fact that He came down and He did this for us while He was perfect. And He showed us the way to overcome sin and to give us the power in His name to cast out demons, to bring forth healing, and to be zealous to bring forth the Word of God in the simplicity that He taught it, whereby you rise above the children of disobedience, enjoying that heritage, that inheritance forever. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That means the outer court and the inner court. What did He do to that veil when He was crucified on that cross at 3 p.m. in the afternoon? That veil was rent from top to bottom to the entrance to the Holy of Holies. It was rent whereby, as a believer, He can say, come on in. And you're welcomed. I don't care who you are, whomsoever will. I want to say something, and I want you to listen real carefully. This inner wall being broken down does not release an Israelite from the duties of an Israelite or a Gentile from the duties of a Gentile. You still have those duties as they are written, but we are one in Christ. Don't ever forget that. It's very important, and it confuses many people, and it's so simple. We have duties. Don't neglect them. To whom? To people. They need you. They need your help. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Many people say, well, right there in the New Testament, He did away with the law. That's not what it said. It's not what it said at all. Don't you know the difference between ordinances and law? Do you know blood rituals? You want to hang on to them? When Christ died on the cross and His blood releases all blood ordinances, they are gone. They were nailed to the cross, but it didn't change the law of murder. It's still very much in place. Okay? There's a difference in ordinances, statutes, and law. Okay, just keep things lined out. 16. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, brought it to naught, and the responsibility still holding, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, that's to say to the Gentile, and to them that were nigh, that's to say Israel. Doesn't change anything in that respect, because it's all one. in Him. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. His kindness. Everyone, whomsoever will, has access. He came down. You can spiritually go up. Now don't read something into that that doesn't exist. You can touch Him in prayer. And He's talking to Him. That's what prayer is. He's your Father. You don't read some written prayer. You talk to Him. Father, I love You, and I need Your help here in this thing. He's very intelligent. He wants to hear from you. He's got time for you. Why? You're His child. His kindness came down to you that you can experience it, exercise it, and follow it. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. This is sum politis, same political party, if you want to go that far, okay, with the saints and of the household of God. If you want to be in the right political party, that's it, okay? Fellow workers. That's the Greek word, okay? Don't think I'm bringing politics into this. That's what the Greek word is, fellow citizens, okay? And verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, what did that say? On the apostles, what does that mean? New Testament. On the prophets, what does that mean? Old Testament. You got to have both of them. Okay. You build on the whole Word of God. For there is nothing new under the sun. That is now was promised then. What goes around comes around. That's God's example of teaching you so that there are no surprises. You can see, love, and understand. So, how precious it is. Absorb both the New and the Old Testaments, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. It makes up His many-membered body, all of it. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Don't read over that. Through what? Through the Spirit. He inhabits. I mean, He lives with you. He is an inhabitor. You might go back to John 14 in your mind right there if you just think a moment. The mansion, mono in the Greek, meaning a resting place. He is your, it's not some big fancy building. It's your resting place. It's where you find peace of mind when a lot of other people get all shook up. You don't get shook up. You don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. You take care of business. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. He habits, His habitation is with you. One building under God. One nation under God. It makes a difference. She's getting a few scabs on her, but she's still there. The flag still flies and the truth still reigns. And God's kindness is still upon her. As we begin to close, I'm not quitting. Okay, don't want to leave the wrong impression. So the book of Matthew, chapter 3. I want you to know how He, I want you to see and feel His kindness. His promises are forever. When He gives His word, He keeps it. But I want you to see the guarantee of His coming down. For I want you to know today He's with you. You feel Him. You know Him. He touches you. Matthew chapter 3, John has just really dressed down the Kenites. He said, don't you bring a body out here that isn't right for baptism. Get out. I'll take the axe to the tree and I'll cut her down and leave nothing but the root, and we'll get you growing up right with a sapling. Now, John the Baptist didn't mince words a whole lot. He just dressed them down. Why? Because he wanted pureness, people that were genuine. And then Christ walks up on the scene in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3. Christ comes. God came down to us. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. 14, but John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But you see, what does the baptism represent? And we follow Christ. Many will say, well, should I be baptized? Well, Christ was. He showed us the way. But what does it signify? The fact that he came here, that he would die on that cross, that he would be buried. That's what going under the water means. But the beauty is then he resurrected, came to life, and gives us life. He came down in God's kindness to do that for us. That's why this had to be. That's why John had to do it. Christ's words were, verse 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, we've got to do this the right way. Why? Well, it's written. And then what happened? What happened at that moment? And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighted upon him. Verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God came down. Came down in what? The Holy Spirit. He does even to this day. That's why you have to read this over and over at times. When you get weary, when you need to be uplifted. And as he said, you've got to do both the apostles and the prophets. You see, a prophet first stated this. In closing, I want to go there. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, the Old Testament, and the prophet, one of the great prophets. They were all great, but Isaiah got it on. And when we come to that chapter, we learn there's nothing new under the sun, that what goes around comes around. That what, when God gives a promise, it always comes to pass exactly as it's written. Therefore, you have that truth sealed in his word, which comes from his mouth, a two-edged sword that cuts both ways. Chapter 11, the great prophet Isaiah, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. Jesse was David's father. And out of Jesse came little old David. One that God picked, you know, a lot of other big old boys, and the prophet said, no, 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 you got one more son somewhere. And there was little old David out herding sheep. Killing lions and bears, you know. I mean, a can-do type person. And God said, that's the one. So forth comes this David, this branch. And there is so much in that. Even when you look up at the stars of heaven and you see Virgo, the virgin, and in her hand. What is that? It's a branch. It's written even in the heavens that that branch would come, which is Christ. God's kindness to us in our serving him. Two, here's where it was said. Listen carefully. Absorb it. And the Spirit of the Lord, what Spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. Shall rest upon him. When he was baptized straight up in the water, that Holy Spirit came down and rested upon him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It came to pass. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. That loving Him, revering Him, the Hebrew word will translate either way. We love Him. We revere Him. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He's not going to hold court by hearing witnesses say this or say that. You see, he knows what's in their heart. He doesn't listen to man. He doesn't judge by man what people say. He knows what you're thinking. Therefore, he is judge, and it's always righteous and it's always fair. Okay. It doesn't get any fairer than that. Okay. You always get what you got coming to you all at one time. Not necessarily, but he knows directly. But with righteousness, that's to say, what's right? Shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth? And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. The rod of what? His mouth. That's to say, his word that we're reading even now. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The truth always burns him. And so it is. The truth always reigns supreme. Hang on to it. Love it. Hold it. You don't have to memorize every word, but remember the flow and be touched by him, by the branch. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And so he is. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Where do you think we are here? We've inherited the eternity. Oh, will there be animals there? Just said it. But no carnivores, okay? The animals that are carnivores today that would rip and tear, no more. Why? Well, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. The lion will no longer be a flesh eater, a carnivore. In straw. What? Spiritual bodies. Okay. You made it if you're here. You've overcome. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the crocus den. Snakes can't hurt you. Won't hurt you. All that's gone. It's all spiritual. What a time. And it's worth waiting for. It's worth living for. Is to know the kindness of God. And to know in that kindness, don't you ever forget it, He came down in that spirit. He comes down today. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't leave your family alone. That's why you have power and unction to declare it against the children of disobedience. Yes, Christos, His kindness, associated with Christos, which is to say Messiah, our Savior. He came down in that Savior to do what? That's what His name is, Savior, to save us who are tempted and who need that touch occasionally. Our Father is so very, very good to us. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your grace, which is to say your gifts, Kiris, Father. Your many gifts, Father, as you touch, as you come down to the family, to the building inhabited by your children, and the chief cornerstone being Christ Himself, that capstone. For my